Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please do keep page 1080 open. And let's pray together as we come to Jesus' words here. Father, how we thank you that you give us a light, give us the light, the Lord Jesus. But we confess that we're not that good at paying attention to what the light shows us in and of ourselves. So we need your help. Pray that you'd show us Jesus. Help us to hear his words and be changed by them now. We ask in his name. Amen. Our words are important to us, aren't they? What we say can express so much. Perhaps about something that's happened to us. Perhaps about someone we know who is dear to us. Perhaps our words express what we're thinking and feeling. I wonder what you would say are the most important or powerful words in history. There have been some great ones, haven't they? Pithy words like Neil Armstrong, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." I was thinking recently about Martin Luther. I don't know if you know, but this year is 500 years since the start of the Reformation. It was on October the 31st, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. They were words that have changed the course of history. They've had an immeasurable effect throughout the last 500 years and have an effect on us today, whether we know it or not. As we come to our passage this morning that David just read for us, we find Jesus teaching here just about how important his words are. You may remember, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, Jesus has entered Jerusalem on a donkey. People are excited to see him. But when they hear his words, when they hear his teaching, many of them don't believe him. Even those who do believe him, those who think he may be right, well, they stay quiet, don't they? Because they care more about what their friends think than what God thinks about them. So we get to the point here where there's a big question mark hanging over Jesus' words. How important are they really? Do they matter? Is his teaching important at all? And against that background, Jesus proclaims loud and clear that his words are the most important words in history. His words have an immeasurable importance to our lives today, thousands of years later. Jesus' words are without parallel. We keep needing to be reminded, don't we, as we come week by week, just how important Jesus' words are. So let's go to Jesus. We'll spend some time seeing reasons why his words are important, why they are worthy of our time and care and attention. It'll help us to split this passage into two halves. Keep it open with me, and in verses 44 to 47, we'll see that his words are words that save. Words that save. And then secondly, in 48 down to 50, we'll see that his words are also words that judge. Words that judge. And through that, we'll see just how important his words are. And lessons for us is how we should treat them. So first, let's go back to verse 44, and we'll see that his words are words that save. Jesus starts his teaching here with a huge claim that will change what we think about his teaching. Look down with me at verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me." When Jesus talks here about the one who sent him, he's talking about God, the Father. Jesus is saying, isn't he, that when we hear him, when we look at him, when we listen to him, when we hear his words, then we are seeing and hearing God the Father himself. Throughout John's Gospel, Jesus is clearly shown to be the perfect Son of the Father, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, the one who is fully God in his person and who always has been. And so when we see him, when we hear him, we are seeing God himself. It's a fact here that there is no claim in any other religion of the world that is parallel to Jesus here. See, the religions of the world, they say that they can teach us about God. They can tell us about what she or he or they, the gods, are like. And they can tell us a bit about how we could know them. In fact, they kind of point us to God from a distance. But Jesus is saying here, no, he can show us God because he is God. When we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at God himself. He's God, come in the flesh, come into our worlds, come to show us face to face what God is like. Jesus is unique. He isn't just another religious teacher or a prophet. He's God in the flesh. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. And of course that means that Jesus' words could not be more important. See, his teaching, his words can bring us something that no other teaching or philosophy could ever. Have a look down with me at the next two verses in verses 45 and 46. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. See, Jesus, because he is God, can bring us light. He means he can bring real spiritual light that shows us who God is and teaches us everything we need to know about God. See, we cannot know God on our own. We can't just work out God as we like to think about him. We have to be told what he's like. See, God himself has come to us in the person of Jesus to shine light on all of our questions about him. Is there a God? Yes, we meet him in Jesus. Is God good? Yes, because he's come to serve us and save us. Can we have a relationship with this God? Can we know him? Yes, because Jesus has come to make that possible. Jesus, because he's God, can bring us light about what God is like. We use light all the time, don't we, whether we think about it or not, to find things. I'm sure you've had that experience of losing something right under a seat in a car, somewhere that it's hard to see, somewhere that it's dark and hard to get to. Perhaps think about finding your wallet or something under a car seat in the middle of the night. It's hard to do in the dark, so you get a torch. A job that would have taken longer and been frustrating in the dark suddenly becomes simple, doesn't it? And quick when you get the torch to show you what's under the car seat. You can see it and retrieve it. Of course, Jesus' words are important. His teaching is like that light. It shows us who God is, and it saves us from life without God. See, Jesus' words are words that save. So how do they do that? How does that work? What experience does that create in our lives? Well, his teaching does what light always does, which is to expose and show up darkness. Have a look down with me at verses 46 and 47. Jesus says, "I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. Jesus pictures then his teaching here as a light that exposes the darkness that is within people. He reveals all of the darkness of the sin, the selfishness, the evil, the pride, the resistance to God that is in our hearts. Jesus says here that he knows that there are many people who will hear his words and not keep them. In fact, they reject his teaching and they don't listen to him. If we think about that for a second, it's perfectly understandable, isn't it? Because Jesus' teaching is uncomfortable. See, light always reveals darkness. His words reveal the fact that we're not actually better than others in the way that we so often think we are. He shows us up. He shows us that we are sinners. Think back then to finding your wallet under the car seat with a torch. See, as you turn the torch on, you're not always met with a pretty sight, are you? There's the food you've dropped under there a while ago that's kind of evolved into some form of intelligent life. There's that sticky stuff that sort of seems to sort of pool under car seats that you don't even want to know or ask what it is. See, when the light goes on, you find things that you don't want to see. And it's the same with Jesus' words, isn't it? Yes, there are amazing words that can save us. We find in his teaching a way to know God. But they do that by showing up the stuff that's in here, the stuff that we don't want to see. See, as Jesus shows us God, we meet a God who is morally holy and perfect. Well, that shows us, well, that we're not. As we learn from Jesus, we meet a God who gives his life for others by dying on the cross to pay for our sin. Well, that right there exposes us as the selfish people who serve ourselves that we are. As we meet Jesus in John's Gospel, we meet Jesus who always loves his Father, the one who lives for the praise of his Father. And we see that we are those who, right at the bottom of it, actually we love ourselves. No wonder Jesus has to defend his message here. He says, I've come to save, not to judge. See, as he exposes our sin, we should feel condemned. We should see our darkness. But then we can take that to Jesus, carry it to him, confess it freely, and see him bear it away at the cross. See, his words are words that save by showing us our darkness and then telling us about how he can pay for it and take it away. I did not come to judge the world, Jesus says, but to save the world. Jesus' words then are without doubt the most important words that have ever been spoken because they show us how to be saved from our sin, our darkness. That means that we need to have the willingness to have our sin exposed by Jesus' teaching, don't we? We need to recognize that the light will expose what is hidden in the darkness. And then we need to be willing to leave that behind and not stay in darkness, as Jesus says. It's what the Bible often calls repentance. See, you can't believe in Jesus and still think that you're light in and of yourself. You can't believe in Jesus and carry on cherishing your sin in secret as if it's okay and good. To the people he's speaking to here, Jesus is saying that they cannot believe in him and still keep loving praise from people more than God. Put it another way, you can't be a Christian and preserve your pride. You need to bring out into open your darkness, admit it to yourself and to the Lord Jesus. You can't be a Christian and hang on to the idea that you're basically good or better than others. Jesus' words reveal that we are all in darkness. There's no room for us to think that we are better than anyone else and continue to look down on them as we come into the light. That place is taken and it belongs to the Lord Jesus. Jesus' words are the most important words in history. They show us who God is and they show us our darkness. They do that for a glorious reason, so that we can bring our sin to Jesus and have him pay for every last one and be saved. Jesus' words are words that save. So Jesus' words are the most important words in history because they can save us. But because of that, we ignore them at our peril. Let's think, secondly, about where Jesus takes us next. And that's that his words are words that judge. Words that judge. Have a look down with me at verses 48 and 49. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. Here then, Jesus is pointing forward to a day that will show just how important his teaching really is. And it's a day that all of us need to be ready for. He calls it here the last day. And the Bible talks about it as the day when Jesus will come back to judge everyone who's ever lived and will make the world new again. On that day, our lives too will be weighed in the balance by Jesus, the judge. And the key thing that will count is how we have treated his words. Jesus says that the one who rejects him cannot expect to live with him in this new world, but will face his anger forever. And he goes on, he shows us that what it means to reject him. How do we reject Jesus? Well, he says, by not accepting his words. Let's put that the other way around for a second. Means that our attitude to Jesus, the way we treat his words, our response to his teaching, it shows what we think of him. You might think at this point, why does listening to Jesus matter so much? Why is it such a big deal? Why is he stressing this point? Why can't he just be relaxed about whether people listen to him and take it or leave it? Well, it matters because Jesus' words have come from somewhere very special indeed. Look down at the last two verses in verse 49 and 50. Jesus says, I did not speak on my own. The Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. See, Jesus' words are of supreme importance because of where they've come from. They are the very words of God, the Father himself. Jesus' teaching is exactly what the Father has told him to teach on every and each subject. His words are what God thinks. So what could matter more? And that means if we reject Jesus' words, if we just discard them, throw them in the bin, if we're not interested, well, then we're saying that we know better than God. We are rejecting God himself. And if we do that, well then, on that last day, his words will be words that judge us. My brother isn't a Christian. He doesn't follow Jesus' teaching in his life. A while ago, when we still lived in the same home together, we used to talk about Christian things a fair bit. And from time to time, we'd talk together about God's judgment and how he didn't really think it was fair. He used to say to me something like, oh, when I see God, though, on that day, if that happens, I'll just say that I lived my life in the way that I thought was best. Why can't God just say that that's fine? Why can't God be happy with that? Isn't that just good enough? I've done what I thought was best. I've thought a lot about that since. I didn't really have an answer then. It sounds really wise, doesn't it? Why can't God just be pleased if we've followed our hearts, as we so often hear, if we've lived as we thought best? Well, the answer's here. The reason God will judge us is that he's already told us which way is best. Jesus' words are what God says. He's telling us what he thinks. He's telling us about the darkness in ourselves. He's telling us that we need Jesus, the light. He's telling us that we need Jesus, the Savior, to pay for our sin. And he tells us the lifestyle we should seek to live, never perfectly, though in those who trust in him. You see, God will judge us because if we don't listen to Jesus, then we are ignoring God himself. If we don't listen to Jesus' words, then we are saying that we know better than God. That actually, after all, again, that we're the light. And he's the darkness, and so we know best. And just think about that is offensive to God. And the right outcome for us, if we think like that, is to face his judgment. So Jesus' words, hopefully you see without a shadow of a doubt, are the most important words in history. If we allow them to bring light into our lives, then they are words that save. And they are also of huge importance because we reject them to our ruin. As we close then, let's just think for a minute about what difference this should make in our lives in the months and year ahead. Well, what Jesus says here then is a call for all of us to think carefully about how we treat his teaching. Perhaps, first of all, you're someone who hasn't heard much of Jesus' teaching. A lot of this is new to you. Well, there's the most amazing news you'll find here. Jesus' teaching can show you God. He can teach you the meaning of life. He can bring you light. So keep coming on a Sunday. Hear more of Jesus' teaching as the Bible is taught. Speak to Jonathan and David about how you can find out more about what Jesus taught in the Bible. And don't just hear his words, but allow them to search you out and bring you real light. Perhaps instead you're someone who does come week by week and Jesus' words are more familiar to you. Let me urge you to ask yourself regularly, what place does Jesus' teaching really have in my life? Is his teaching something I find interesting, that perhaps I gain a little bit of wisdom from? Or, rather, is it what governs your life? See, we need to consider carefully how we listen to Jesus. It's more than possible to listen to his teaching and agree with it up to a point, up to the point that we like. We accept the bits that we like, but we keep some of the other stuff at arm's length. But if we're doing that, we're only ever agreeing with Jesus when he talks like we do. And so we're not really listening to him at all. See, if we're never challenged by Jesus, we're probably not hearing clearly what he says. So let's pray and keep on praying that we would have soft hearts, repentant hearts, hearts that are willing to hear what he says and embrace it. Hearts that are willing to allow him to expose our darkness and show us where we're wrong. Because as we've seen, there's great promise if we're willing to do that. The promise is none less than eternal life, because Jesus is the one who came from the Father so that he could speak words that save. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we thank you so much that your words are important. How we thank you so much that you speak words that guide us to knowing the Father. How we thank you that you speak words that can save us for eternity. And so we pray that you'd give us hearts that are willing to hear you, that are willing to listen to you, that are willing to have you as our King, and that are willing to hold on to your words at any cost. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.